So why are we here, Mike?
I think we're here to start a podcast.
Mission Creek was this weekend.
Oh yeah,
dude, you got to go to Mission Creek.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. You know, we just buy a festival pass every year. So Mission Creek is a music and literature festival that happens in Iowa City every year.
They used to have comedy sometimes.
Yeah, and they used to have a comedian on, like, I think the Thursday night, but they stopped that in the pandemic and never brought it back.
Yeah, the last time the last one I saw was co-headliners Michelle Wolfe and Janelle James.
Oh wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's a real banger.
Yeah. We saw Marc Maron there and Carmen Esposito. Those were the two I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so they don't do the comedy anymore. Maybe they'll bring it back someday. But I was just thinking about our experience yesterday. I had work, so we didn't get here till like 7 or 6:30. So we ate dinner and then just music until 11. So this is what we saw. So we saw like a local pop band called 24 Thank You. We just caught a couple of their songs. And then we went to see S.G. Goodman, who is from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And she kind of does like a rockin' Appalachian, dark Appalachian music.
Mm-hmm. And people don't know, but the G in S.G. stands for Goodman. It's S. Goodman. It's weird.
Yeah, it's a little over the top, if you ask me. But and then we went to see an Egyptian woman who was like reimagining like Egyptian folk music, but like through a soundscape thing almost. So it was just her and a harpist on stage, and then they were just like running sounds through various, you know, modulators and whatnot. So it was just like this weird soundscape, and she was just kind of singing like Egyptian melodies over that in Arabic.
Okay.
And then we saw a rapper from Des Moines.
Okay.
And then we went to see
a little Come and Go.
If nobody has that name, you should definitely take that name, especially since Come and Go is going away.
That's right.
I think that should be your rap name, Lil Come and Go. Look for the new album in 2025.
I got to learn to rap.
It's okay. You got a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't take long.
And then we finished off the night seeing the OCs, which is like a hard kind of hardcore punk garage rock band from California, who I've known about for several years, but this is the first chance I've ever got to see them.
Okay.
And so, yeah, just like those like four or five acts, just like back to back. Like, that's the only time in the year that that's ever going to happen where I get to have that experience.
Were they at different venues?
Yeah, so Riverside Theater, Englert, Gabe's, those were the three we went to last night. And then Reunion had some music yesterday on the Ped Mall.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that was the beauty of when we were in Floodwater, was how we were able to have like all these different downtown venues, so mm-hmm. you just park your car and you can walk around all night.
Mm-hmm.
Start at 5 p.m. and it was over at 2 a.m.
Oh man, too much.
Show after
too
show.
Too much man. Comedy.
It was fun.
See, you need that Egyptian comedian to come in to break up the night a little bit because.
Oh yeah.
You know.
We would do like different. We'd do like theme shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. We had like a
send some improv and.
We had improv, we had storytelling shows like Drunk Diaries.
Mm-hmm. What's the...
Blackout Diaries.
Blackout Diaries. What was the cop one?
Oh, yeah, the police, Iowa City Police Log.
Yes.
That one always packed the room. People loved that.
And was it just dumb reading? Like, basically, Iowa City Facebook page?
So, yeah, so Iowa City Police Log, this guy basically created... I think it was a Twitter feed or a Facebook feed or something that was just picking out the interesting things from the Iowa City police log. Like, when people call the cops, it becomes public record, I guess, and they you know, record it.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, record it, like, word for word, but record what happened.
Right.
So they would just take the funny ones or interesting ones,
mm-hmm.
put them in a Twitter or whatever,
right.
And then once a year they would have a show and just read the most interesting ones. And he would kind of curate them so they would, like, you know, have a theme. There was always, like, some part where it was just people being racist. You know, you know, guy wearing turban hanging around in the alley. That's what somebody called the cop for, you know. unbeknownst to something like that.
Oh, man.
So he'd always have, like, had a message to give.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird reminder that all this time that we spend writing and trying to create things, the funniest stuff is just out there, and all you have to do is just read it.
Yeah.
Mission Creek is my favorite thing that happens in Iowa every year. So
nice.
In those last three nights, yeah, I just got to see some really cool shit.
I think I get to host a show for, I think I was part of it once, hosted something, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Nico Case, do you know her?
I know the name.
Yes, she's one of my favorite. Thursday night, they always open at the Hancher now, so they almost have always have like an author and then two bands. So she was headlining on Thursday night.
Nice.
Yeah, she's just one of my favorite songwriters and one of my favorite voices. Yeah.
Iowa City's got a lot of good stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. I sort of feel glad that I don't live in Iowa City, but glad that Iowa City's only, you know, 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
Should we do a soft rock nugget first and then?
Yeah, let's switch it up.
All right.
Since last time we got forgotten.
Yeah, we did the soft rock nugget in the middle of the show last week. Soft rock nugget from friend of the podcast, Dave Cecil. While Kenny Loggins might be the most famous musical son of Everett Washington, it was his second cousin, Dave Loggins, who inspired America's wanderlust and soothed its troubled soul in 1974 with his smash hit, Please Come to Boston.
Ooh, that's a good song.
Hitting number five on the charts the same week Richard Nixon resigned from the presidency, the story of a young man searching for himself across the drifter's country. He got real literary on this one.
Okay.
Searching for himself across this drifter's country and the woman who knew him too well, Please Come to Boston echoed a nation lost in political wilderness, searching for themselves but hoping maybe to find someone to lean on, somebody to sing to.
Okay.
Like all great soft rock songs, Please Come to Boston promised good times and easy answers to a nation desperately needed them.
Did you know he drove to Boston in a Chevy van?
I did not know that part. Was he making love to somebody in the back of it the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that song.
Just on autopilot while he just banged somebody in the back of the Chevy van.
Yeah, had a waterbed back there.
All right. That's a pretty good one.
I think David Allan Coe did a version of that.
Of Chevy van?
No. Please Come to Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one. David Allan Coe's all right. He got a little reputation for being a little bit racist at some point.
I think so.
I think he used the N-word in, like, throughout songs, like on an entire album one time.
Oh, that seems like...
He was being ironic, quote-unquote ironic.
Oh.
Like many of us young comics who are being ironic.
Yeah, I'm not going to walk that line ever. I'm not going to try to figure that one out. I'm just going to just not do it.
Everett Washington, also where our friend Dan is from. Dan Anderson, who we went to grad school with.
Oh.
Also from Everett, Washington.
The infamous Bill is from Everett, Washington. That's where he lives.
He lives in there now, yeah, that's right. I never did hang out with him when I was in Seattle. He never sent me his contact information.
You told me you were going to ask for it. I'll ask you if any wanted to.
I wasn't going to. I just didn't have enough time.
Really missed out, man.
Yeah, missed out on a fight.
Or something.
maybe a bowling ball through a window. Cool. he's really upgraded since he got to Washington.
Gotcha. Now, yeah, there's not always a fight. You know, there's just something.
Next time I'm in Seattle, I'll go earlier and set aside some more time.
Okay.
So I can hang out with Bill.
Yeah. Maybe you guys could jam. He plays the bass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'd be all right. All right. We race for some clarification and corrections.
Damn right I am.
Okay. So we were talking about, you said the Dead Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
Had the blank side of a tape.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1981, they released an album called In God We Trust, Inc., which is a great name of an album. But then, so on the B-side, they just wrote, Home taping is killing record industry profits. We left this side blank so you can help. This is why I love the Dead Kennedys.
I love it.
They're so funny. But yeah, just how funny it is. Streaming is killing the record industry. Home taping is killing the record industry. Blank CDs are killing the record industry.
Right.
For going on 40-something years now.
Yeah.
Somehow they always find a way to monetize so that they get record profits, even while having their profits destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, and the nice part now is, if you're not, like, wildly famous, they'll still make money, but you don't get any.
No, God, no.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, just the 1% of the record industry has really, like, concentrated almost all music or all money in the music business into like so few hands.
Yeah.
That's wild. Dexy's Midnight Runners, mm-hmm. who famously stole Laszlo Cravensworth melody.
Oh, yeah. Chum on Irene.
Yes. The local fishmonger's wife.
Yes.
So we were wondering if they had another number one hit. They never had another hit in the U.S., but they did have a hit in the U.K. called Gino, which I sent to you this morning. Did you listen to it?
It started to.
It's good. It was a really good song. I really liked it a lot. It's very ska. Had a very, very like strong ska bass. They sound like Madness a little bit.
There was another song that I looked that up too. I didn't look that up. I just looked on Apple Music, and they had a song that I recognized, which was called Jackie Wilson Said.
Oh, I think that's a cover. Yeah, I think that was a
that's why I recognized.
Yeah, that was a Van Morrison song. I'm pretty sure. But they did have six other top 20 hits in the UK. They just never had another hit in the US, so they were pretty big in the UK.
They did fine over there.
Yeah. Somehow, but Kevin Rowland, who we're talking about, who is the lead singer, apparently he lost all of his money to drugs later. So you'd said that he started wearing dresses.
Yes.
And so I didn't do a ton of research, but he did wear a dress and a pearl necklace on the cover of a solo album in 99 that everybody's like lost their mind about for some reason.
Yeah. So I looked it up too, and he said, "I don't wear women's clothing. I wear men's clothing. I made a dress for a man, and I'm wearing it."
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Why is a dress a woman's clothing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that argument.
Yeah.
Cover of a Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
We talked about, which was my favorite Dr. Hook song.
Yeah.
Do you know who wrote that song? I knew this, but then I had forgotten it.
Bruce Springsteen.
Shel Silverstein.
Oh, yeah, I did know that.
Yeah, every time I because I love this song so much, so like probably twice a year I just go look it up and just listen to it and then read about it. And, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Shel Silverstein did write that song.
Yeah.
You know what other song Shel Silverstein wrote, which is great?
Nope.
A Boy Named Sue.
No kidding.
By Johnny Cash.
Interesting.
Yeah. That guy was something.
Yeah. So he wrote Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Mm-hmm. Book. Yeah, a whole bunch of kids' books that I loved growing up.
Yeah. So my wife loves that book. And it was in my kids' room when they were little. And one of them got sick in the middle of the night and threw up all over the book.
Did you clean it off?
No, we just got a new one.
Yeah, but you got to have it around.
Yeah.
If you got kids, you have to have that book. Yeah. That song only reached number 6 on the U.S. charts, but it did reach number 2 in Canada.
Yeah, the Canadians are a little more into the hook.
Canadians got better taste. So Springsteen, we're wondering if you had asked, did Springsteen ever have any number one songs in the U.K.?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No kidding.
No. He did have 4 songs in the top 10, though.
Okay.
But never a number one. So Bruce Springsteen still getting blanked all over the world.
What a turd. What an absolute turd.
All right. And I think that's it. That's all I got for clarifications and corrections.
I sent you one.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right.
I looked up what I was thinking about this. We used the term Vlad the Exsanguinator several times, I think. Or maybe it was just the Exsanguinator. That's what, he was part of the crew.
Yeah, I think it was Vlad the Exsanguinator.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was part of Simon the Devious' crew.
The Manhattan crew.
Yeah. And so I didn't know what that word meant, and I, like you, thought it was just maybe a made-up word. But I mean, what's it mean to, like, drain the blood?
Yeah, so it's a device or mechanism designed to drain blood from a body or a specific area. It's often used in medical procedures or in slaughterhouses for draining blood from animals during processing.
Now we know.
That's a great reference.
Yes. It's pretty deep. It's a deep cut. Yeah.
There's a writer in that room that just like their whole life, they've just been waiting to use that that word in a script, and then their life's work came to fruition.
Yeah. And they got to do it twice. Yeah. So, yeah, now we've clarified everything.
Yeah. So, the big question. Mm-hmm. So, we got 2 episodes left of this season.
Mm-hmm.
Are we moving on? Are we doing season 3?
Yeah.
What are you arguing for?
I would vote for moving on.
Okay. And maybe coming back and revisiting.
Yeah.
I haven't loved the second half of this season.
Yeah. So, I can tell you that it gets stronger.
Okay, like, in later seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm definitely open to coming back, but I think I'm ready to move on and do something.
Okay.
What is it?
That's a good question. We had someone write us an email and suggest something.
Oh, that's right.
Let me look that one up. Got to see who sent that to us.
So I brought up Fawlty Towers several times. So Fawlty Towers is often like at the very top, best British sitcoms ever made.
Yeah.
Year after year after year. But I don't think you can find it streaming in the U.S. I looked all over yesterday, and like even you can't even get it on Amazon. I think you can get it on Amazon Britain or Amazon England, but you can't, not Amazon U.S., I don't think, or Netflix U.S.
So a listener named Rob Wilson wrote, and he suggested that we do a show called Resident Alien.
Oh, that's right. I might have to do a little research on this one.
Yeah, I think it's a newer show,
mm-hmm.
and it's about an alien.
We watched the trailer, right?
I
think you pulled up the trailer.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it seemed kind of funny. I was also thinking, trying to think of like shows that are like compact, either by choice or not by choice, but Arrested Development, which is a great show. Probably maybe some of the best writing ever on a sitcom.
That's a great show, but isn't it? That's got several seasons, and they're like...
Is it 22 episode seasons?
Probably.
Oh, geez.
Wasn't it on Fox?
Okay, that's a good question. But I really love the writing on that show. It's so clever and so fast and so self-referential.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do the first season of Soap?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Are we going to do it? Are we making the decision right now?
Well, not right now.
Okay. So we'll just put that on the list.
To find it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have the DVDs. Well,
you have the DVDs.
But I don't have anything to play a DVD on.
That's funny because I think maybe I could get Fawlty Towers on DVD and then we could just share it back and forth. But
oh, yeah. We could figure something out.
Okay. I have a DVD player.
Oh, I bet. I bet. You probably have a cassette player. Right.
I really upgraded in the last year. I upgraded to a DVD player.
Yeah, someday Blu-ray.
All right, so we'll have to continue this discussion. I'm also always open to Atlanta.
Oh yeah,
which is not always a funny show, but always like it's always interesting, and the writing is good, and it's kind of dark.
Okay,
but it's Donald Glover,
mm-hmm.
Who I think is also a genius.
Yeah,
guy can do anything. So.
Yeah, comedian. Rapper,
actor,
not a rapper, is he?
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, but it's like, is it rap? It's more like hip hop, isn't it?
Well, rap is hip hop.
Is it? Rap is like a certain thing. Rapping is a thing.
Yeah.
Singing and hip hop music is not rapping necessarily.
But he does rap, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Huh? That's a good question.
Yeah, old white guys discussing whether or not something's rap.
What is this rap stuff, anyways? How do you even define it? So, rapping is one of the four pillars of hip hop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know.
That is true. Okay. I'm not making that up.
Okay, I believe it. Hip-hop ain't my bag. You might not have known that about me.
Right. Fair enough.
I like a little bit, but most of it...
Who's your favorite rapper? Who's, or hip-hop group? Or hip-hop artist?
Public Enemy.
Okay, good one. I really loved Kanye for a while, and then he went off the deep end, and so I'm sort of done with Kanye. But there for a few years, man, Kanye was just...
Did you cancel him?
Sure. Yeah. I haven't looked up his music in years. Is that canceling?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's, I personally cancel a lot of things.
Yeah, right.
I don't need to tell other people about it.
Right.
I don't need you to cancel. You decide on your own.
I mean, I might go revisit his earlier stuff because it is so good, but.
Mm-hmm. I had the chance to see him at Coachella when we left.
So, or did you just stand with your back to the stage the whole time?
No. We're like, well, we can beat the crowd, and we don't want to listen to any of this.
Yeah, that's fair. Go on some anti-Semitic rant.
Crazy dude.
Yeah.
Like.
Literally. I was looking at CDs in the library yesterday, and we do have his album. It's something like, Being Bipolar is Terrible, I Love It, or something like that. That's the name of an album they came out with like 2 years ago.
Okay.
But we have that on the shelf.
Good for him. Still putting out music. Good for him. Yeah. This episode's season 2, episode 9 of What We Do in the Shadows.
What's this one called?
Witches. So it starts out and Nandor's trying to call a house meeting. And he's yelling around the house trying to get a house meeting going. He said it's supposed to start 15 minutes ago, but they can't find Laszlo. Now just says he's out tending to his fruit trees, which is fun to think about because he none of them eat fruit.
Right. We're about to find out what happens to the fruit trees.
Right. And Nandor says, okay, great. So maybe you want to fetch him and we can begin the house meeting. And Nadja's like, I cannot go fetch him. That's a job for Guillermo. And you can see Guillermo in the back, like Nando's at the bottom of the steps, and you can see Guillermo in his little cubby hole.
Closet of a bedroom.
He's like laying on his bed, blowing bubbles, and looking at his cell phone.
And listening to music. He has headphones on, listening to music. Yeah. Sprawled out across his bed.
Yeah, just super comfy. And Nando goes, Guillermo is on break at the moment. And Nadja's like, she's indignant about that. And then Nandor says, from now on, Guillermo will receive one day off per week plus a 15-minute break every 4 hours. This is all my idea, of course, not Guillermo's idea. Nadja tells Guillermo that he has permission to take a break from his break to go get Laszlo. But Nandor says that he will not be doing that. Mm-hmm. Then we cut to an interview with Guillermo, and he's like, I'm starting to think this, my whole life is a big pile of bullshit. I would agree with that. Yes. Because sometimes this job seems like a really childish career choice. Like, what am I even doing here? He goes, maybe it's time to grow up and get a real job with real people. And you see him like this, he's out like in the yard, and he's like watching people in the neighborhood have living normal lives. Yes. He's like waving at the neighbor lady. His kids are like going off to school or something. He goes, maybe I could start a business. I was using these Tide pins the other day to take blood off of my clothes, and I thought, I don't have to do this. And so I dumped all of them into this, and I made this. And he holds up like it's like just a bigger stick of...
It looks like a deodorant stick.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, it's heavy-duty blood remover. He's like, I've been watching a lot of Shark Tank lately. Now, the sky will be the limit. Can we make a deal today? So he's pretty excited about the idea.
Definitely a market for mass blood removal from your clothing.
Yeah.
So there's a couple callbacks already. So one, so the break thing is from the last episode, right? Because Guillermo's like, I want some changes around here, but we never see them talk about the changes. So the changes are got union rules.
Yeah.
15-minute break and lunches. Yeah. One day off per week.
Pretty good.
And then. Oh, yeah, when he went with the vampire slaying crew, that's when he was cleaning off all the blood.
Yeah, with the tie pins. He says that he's not going to fetch anybody. And so now we go outside, and Laszlo's out there, and he's talking to the camera, and he's pruning a tree, an apple tree. And he says, when I was a child, I loved juicy red apples. Now they smell like shit and decay to me. So what I do is cut them off of the tree and throw them on the floor. And then he hears this weird voice saying his name again. This one's not coming from the sewer. Right. Say, Laszlo Cravensworth. And he goes, who calls the Cravensworth? You have a lot of nerve disturbing me in my garden while I'm pruning. And I looked up Cravensworth just to see if that name meant anything. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find any connection to anything.
Did you see it as like a family name?
No, nothing. Huh. So Laszlo goes over to find out where this voice is coming from. And it turns out it's a goat. It's like a black kind of goat with like long horns, you know, kind of like you see like worshiping and stuff.
Yeah, but like a livestock goat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The mood lightens and he's like, a goat? He's like, your shepherd will be wondering where the hell you are. And then Nandor calls for Laszlo to come in for the house meeting, and he says he'll be there in a minute. And then the goat whisks him up in a sort of a cyclone, and he disappears into the air. The goat says the ceremony awaits you, and then he disappears. They can't find him. Laszlo's like, the house meeting, Laszlo. And then it goes to the opening credits. Yes. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. And out of this world.
Thank you.
So now we go back, and Nadja is in the yard, and she's like, I can feel something terrible has happened. It's witches. They have taken him. I can feel it on the inside of my bones. And Andor's like, I'm not saying Nadja is hysterical in an interview. He's like, but she blames everything on witches. And then you see her sitting on the couch, and like a light bulb kind of explodes, and she's like, witches are near. You see her tripping over a rug, and she's like, the witches have been toying with our rugs again. And she tells Guillermo to get some witch-proof carpet tape and tape the rug down. And then she trips over the next rug.
So. That's pretty funny, some witch-proof carpet tape. Also called carpet tape.
Yeah. Yeah. They're out in the yard, and she says that she sees witch dust everywhere. And Colin goes, or dirt. She's like, it's not. It's witch dust. She says that it stinks, then nobody should breathe it in. And it's how they seize control of your mind. And she says that they're going to have to burn the entire garden down. So they're looking around, and then Nadja tells Guillermo to join in, and he says, nah, that's not in my job description. Here, Nando, go, Laszlo, did you fall down a hole again? So apparently Laszlo sometimes falls in holes.
Well, they got a bunch of holes all over their property.
Oh, I thought they fixed that, though. And then the voice, you hear the voice again, and he's calling for Nandor this time. And then he's like, oh, look, hello, Mr. Goat. He goes, you are very handsome before. And then the goat says, the ceremony awaits you. And then Nandor gets sucked up into the sky, just like Laszlo did. So, like, you know, Guillermo's been sort of cocky and, like, he's not going to help out. And then he just goes, okay, I'll get the keys.
Okay, I guess something is happening here.
And then Colin goes, I'll be damned. Witches. So she was right the whole time.
Right.
So now they're in the car and they're driving down the road, and the witches are flying overhead with the guys, and they're driving down the road. And Nadja wants Guillermo to make the carriage move faster. he's driving slower than when her Yaya tried to ride a snail to the next village.
And I didn't love that line.
Pretty dumb.
Yeah. Like, you got a room full of riders. You can come up with a better line than that.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
Yeah. And Guillermo goes, if you wanted to go faster, why didn't you just fly? And then she says it's too dangerous. And she's like, look how quickly and disgustingly they move. And Colin goes, yeah, they're really hauling ass. And then Nadja notices that they're getting ready to land. Somebody hits a building. And then Nadja goes, well, luckily that was just Nandor. And then Nadja starts, and Colin both start saying, you got to take this exit. And then Nadja starts wrestling over the steering wheel with Guillermo and trying to make him cross traffic, I guess, and wreck the car or whatever. And then we see him, they pull into a parking lot, and Nadja tells him to stop the machine because they are near. She can tell. She goes, the smell of beef and sulfur is overwhelming.
I don't get the beef reference, but... sulfur, I get, yeah.
Colin goes, that's just Brooklyn.
That's a good line.
And he goes, so they see that they're in, they went into this building across the street, and it's like a storefront. And Colin goes, you want me to go in for a quick snoop and poop? So I hope whoever wrote that other line about riding the snail also wrote this one to redeem themselves.
Right.
Snoop and poop's pretty funny.
That's a great line.
Nadja says, you cannot go, they will sense you. We need a mortal, a human, a common schlub, a nobody, someone whose personality is like a eunuch's, you know. And then Guillermo goes, okay, I'll go in. And she's like, oh, really, Guillermo? I never would have. And then she looked at the camera and smiles like, Like she just.
Yeah. We don't get that from her. Like in the first season, she did that all the time and I loved it so much. Yeah. And she doesn't do that very often anymore. Yeah.
So he goes to go do it and he walks across the street and it's like a salon. He's like, I have to do everything myself. And he's talking to the camera crew, and he tells them to stay outside. So he goes inside, there's a woman behind the counter. She's like a young, attractive lady. She goes, anything I can help you find? He goes, no, I'm just taking a look at, is this the only room? Is there another room with more stuff? And she's like, are you looking for anything specific? Do you have allergies? And he goes, no, my nose is stuffy, but I don't know if that's because of a food allergy or seasonal. And then she comes over and starts like massaging his head, and he becomes really like super relaxed. He's like, that feels good. You see them in the car, Nadja and Colin. She's like, I think she's trying to squeeze Gizmo's eyeballs out. And then Colin says, the consensus on Instagram is that we underestimate the importance of self-care.
This episode has a lot of just like lines that line is fine, but they're just like trying to wedge it in.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I like this line. So like, let's just shove it in here and give it no context and never reference it again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of Colin, right? Like he's boring.
Yeah. That's true. Says things. That's true.
Suck your soul out.
Yeah.
The goat appears behind them. And then they both get taken up into the sky.
Like Nadja just goes, oh shit.
They go back into the salon now, and Guillermo's like, do you have anything for rosacea? I think I have a flare up on my chin. And she's like, come with me. And then she goes to the back room, and she goes, bring the cameras. He's like, there's no, because they were outside, but she knew they were out there.
Yeah.
And so then they come in. So now we're in like this ceremonial chamber, and there's like witches lighting a fire, and Laszlo and Nando are like tied to
just like planks or something, like standing upright.
Yeah,
I like that. Also, Guillermo, as he's walking to the back room, there's just like a container full of brooms, mm-hmm. but like old witches' brooms, not like modern like clean your living room brooms.
Oh, that's funny. So now there's a bunch of witches, and these guys are tied to these planks. And Laszlo's like, goes, "I say, ladies, perhaps we could come to some kind of an arrangement. I mean, you don't need the two of us, surely, no." And Nandor sees that the camera crew's in there, and he goes, "Psst, guys, a little help." And then one of the witches yells intruders when she sees the cameraman. But the head witch, I think her name's Lilith?
Yes.
She's like, "Fret not, my sisters. Let them in. Let the ceremony be documented for the ages." And then the witch turns around kind of like theatrically to walk over to the cauldron or whatever and runs into another witch and her hat falls off, which is kind of corny.
That is pretty funny. Like, yeah, just the clownish nature keeps getting revisited. All these supernatural beings are just dumb clowns.
Right. Yeah. The clerk takes Guillermo into this room, and she's like, "You will remain here until until the ceremony is complete." And Guillermo's like, "Ceremony? What others?" And then Colin and Nadja fall into the room from like the sky or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the clerk closes the door, and it's completely dark. And Nadja goes, "Guillermo, get the lights." He's like, "I'm looking for it." She's like, "It's over there." He's like, "Over where?" She goes, now he's getting breaks all the time, so he doesn't want to turn on the lights. He's like, "I'm looking." And she goes, in this talking back, and he goes, "I'm looking for it." And then Colin goes, "Turn on the damn light." And then Guillermo goes, "Fuck you guys."
That might be Guillermo's best moment of the show so far.
But then as he says it, he flips on the light because he found it. See that they're in like this room that's like many stories tall, and there's just like doors lining the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
She and Guillermo goes, "What is this place?" And Colin goes, "It looks like some sort of storage room, perhaps." And then he opens up a door, and in the room that he opens the door to is just this. It's like just an inferno. It's not an actual room. It's just all it is fire and screaming. And then he shuts the door and he goes, "Nope, not a storage room." So now we're back to the ceremony, and the head witch is in there, and she's getting everybody situated. And she goes, "Hear me now, and take note." Or no, sorry, Nandor says this.
Yes.
Yeah. Nandor goes, "Witches, hear me now, and take note. Release us, and you will be shown mercy. But any further hesitation will ensure your complete and utter destruction." Which, there's like this pause, and all the witches are like standing there, and then they all bust out laughing. And then Laszlo says, "Well done, Nandor. You've certainly frightened them." So then the head witch says, "Let us begin. Start the music." One of the witches starts the music, and it's like a hip-hop song. Not a rap song, but a hip-hop song. I tried looking it up, and I couldn't find the song anywhere, but on the internet, somebody on Reddit said it's somebody named Spank, and the song's called Show and Prove.
Okay.
I couldn't find it anywhere.
All right.
And the head witch is like, "Wrong playlist. That's for the hip-hop Kundalini class that we offer on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings." So I had to look up what Kundalini was because I had no idea. And it's a form of divine feminine energy believed to be located at the base of your spine. Muladhara. I got bored and didn't look up that word because I was like,
"Yeah,
who cares?"
That's how almost all of my internet searches go. I read one sentence and I'm like, "Well, that's enough." Move on.
Tessa is the witch who turned the wrong song on. She apologized, and the head witch is like, "It's all right, Tessa. Start the music." Eerie music or whatever starts, mm-hmm. And then the witches start grabbing bowls, and they're full of smoke, and they're dancing around the guys. And Laszlo goes, "What the hell are those?" Nandor goes, "I don't know. I think this is the end. Don't breathe it in." Wait a minute. They start liking it because they're like, the women are like, they're all beautiful, and they're seductively dancing around them. And Laszlo goes, "I must say, I'm not sure I fully disapprove of this abduction." And Nandor goes, "It's relaxing, really." And Laszlo goes, "Some might say erotic. I don't know about you, old chap, but I've a raging heart on." Nandor goes, "Yes." So he must have a rager also.
Don't they show both of them?
I guess I didn't notice. I don't notice those things.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm just way too heterosexual to look at it.
Yeah, as soon as they show a man's crotch, you just turn away.
No, I don't. I just don't even see it.
you're just like when people don't see race, you just don't see men's crotches.
Yeah, that's how heterosexual I am. So now we go back to Colin Guillermo Nadja, and Colin goes, "These witches are sly, but so am I. I think I've got them figured out. Door on the floor. We ain't here no more." And he opens it up, and it's like.
The like door opens. Like a blizzard or something like blowing down.
Comes flying in and it's like blows his hat off and it takes all of them to shut the door. He shuts it and he goes, "Ah, that does that thing." Like he's like it was no big deal. We're just battling to close the door. And then Colin opens up another door and there's like an old woman in a rocking chair. He goes, "Hello, we were just wondering." And then she stands up and like her body like contorts in like these weird shapes or, you know, like she's.
Yeah, she like bends over backwards and then like her head twists around.
Yeah, and she's like walking like a dog. He closes that door and then he opens one and it looks like it's an entryway. He goes, "Aha." He's like, "This way, you guys." So they all go through that and they walk from one door, open to the next door, and then they're just back in the same room they were in before.
You're like, Colin says, "When I saw that, I knew it was the right door." And then they just walk back into the same room.
Yeah. And then Guillermo says,
"Puta madre."
I know what madre means. Mm-hmm. Mother, right?
Puta is like fucking or something like that. Yeah.
Motherfucker, basically.
It's kind of, yeah.
Gotcha. And then Colin goes, how many door rooms do they have? And Nadja goes, "It's the same one, Professor Pig Dick." So I didn't really need to read that part except for I just like Professor Pig Dick. And then Colin goes, "I've done a lot of escape rooms, but I'm usually the one in the group that's asking about where we're going to go out for dinner afterwards and how we'll split up the bill." And then Nadja opens up a book. He goes, "Don't open that, Nadja." And she opens it and a bunch of bugs come crawling out of the book. And she's like, "I hate this place." And then she's yelling for Laszlo to be strong because she's coming to save him. And then we go to Laszlo in the ceremony room. He's like, "I mean, in your own time, my darling." He's no immediate hurry because
he's all turned on.
Yeah.
He's horn dogged up.
Yep. And the witch says it's time to begin the extraction. And Nandor goes, "The what now?" And the witch goes, "The removal of your semen." He goes, and Laszlo's like, "Oh, yes. I'm quite keen on that idea. Let that be known." And the witch goes, "Now this process will be quick." And Laszlo goes, "Well, that's slightly insulting, but probably true." He goes, "Though I can go again." And the witch goes, "I'm afraid it's not entirely painless." She goes, "Tess?" Laszlo goes, "Ooh, look, marital aids." And then the witch goes, "No, 18th century surgical tools." So they've got out some.
Maybe an exquingzigator. What is it?
Exsanguinator.
Exsanguinator. Maybe they're using that to get the semen instead of blood.
Yeah. I feel like looking at those surgical tools reminded me of like an old Nine Inch Nails video or something.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever see that David Cronenberg movie? Oh, what was it called?
Dead Ringer?
Yes. where it's just that's the two twins.
Yeah. That might be the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah. But weird.
Yeah, totally weird. Jeremy Irons.
Yes.
Right?
Plays... two twins, mm-hmm. and they just like spend time, using all these like old medical tools to.
They're both doctors.
Yeah, and I don't even remember what they do. They cut up bodies and.
Yeah, just super take, weird.
Yeah.
So, go check that out. They've got an exsanguinator in there. Uh-huh. So then, after they get the surgical tools out, then Laszlo starts yelling for Nadja to come save him. And the head witch says that they're fully engorged, and Laszlo goes, "That's true." And then the witch says, "Let us revert to our true form." So then they all go from, like, being young, beautiful ladies to, like, old, wrinkly women.
Yeah, they all look like they're in their 70s all of a sudden.
Yeah. And Nandor goes, "MILFs, even better."
I don't think they're MILFs at that point.
No. And then Laszlo goes, "It's a contrast, but something I wouldn't say no to." And then the head witch says that she's going to prepare the cauldron, and she needs to bring, or she goes, "Bring me the fluid when the bowls are filled to the brim." And Laszlo's kind of freaking out, and they're both freaking out because they're bringing these instruments towards them. And then Nandor goes, "I don't think that bowl's going to be big enough."
Gross.
Yeah. Well, you saw what happened to the
ghost. The ghost, ghost come. But it had been hundreds of years of build up.
That's true. Now we're back in that escape room. Basically, Colin opens up a room or opens up a door, and there's like a frozen face. He goes, "Ah, that looks like Epicurus, the Greek philosopher and father of hedonism. Pleasure is the absence of suffering. The Greek word for pleasure is," and so he's like really getting into this. Yes. Guillermo opens the door and goes, "Found it." And he goes, Colin goes, "Well, how did you find that?" And Guillermo goes, "Salida, exit in Spanish." He's like, "I know that." Colin's like, "I knew that too." And Guillermo goes, "Yeah, but I discovered it." And Colin goes, "Wow." And then so they go to leave, and Colin goes, "I told you I'd get us out of here." And then we go to the ceremonial room, and they all, Colin, Nadja, and Guillermo storm in there. And Nadja tells them to put down their tiny swords, or you'll be removing them from your crusty old tits and dry old asses. So
again, I don't love the writing in this show. It seems pretty lazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's going on here? Do you think they just... to the end of the season, and they're like, "Yeah, we gotta fill this up."
Yeah, well, that's sort of what I think with this whole episode is that it's like, well, we've done ghosts, we've done werewolves, what else we got? Witches. Okay, let's do an episode about witches.
Yeah,
and so it doesn't feel like organic. It just feels like they're trying to wedge something into something else.
Okay,
so I felt like the whole concept was sort of forcibly done, and then the writing is very forcibly done. Mm-hmm. Like, just none of the writing in here feels very, like, organic and story-like.
Mm-hmm. Lazo's excited to see that they're there, and the witch is like, the head witch is like, how did you escape our secret room? And Colin goes, "That would be me, ma'am. Thank you. I put together all your clues, figured it out." And Guillermo goes, "Actually, it was me. I'm the one who saw, it's in Spanish." And then Colin says, "Well, yo soy a bit of a puzzle head." So, what's yo soy mean?
I am.
Oh.
Yo is I, and then soy is conjugation of to be.
Okay. One of the witches goes, you're a man of great intelligence. And Colin's like, "Yes, Mensa has been trying to get me to join." And then Tessa is the one who turned the music on. She goes, "You've proven that you are also worthy of semen extraction." And Colin goes, "Oh, thank you." He's like, "I'd like to tell you you'd be the first to have ever said that to me, but you're not." And he goes, "You're not going to use those, though, are you?" Because all the tools. And then they like kind of, you know, let him know that they are. And he's like, "Oh, this is your guy." And then Guillermo goes, "No hablo inglés." And then now we see Colin's tied to a plank, too. Nando goes, "Real nice job, Colin Robinson."
But you are also a puzzle head. So Colin Robinson says, "I am a puzzle head."
That's true.
And you are as well.
Yeah.
You are really trying to be Colin Robinson in this world.
Yeah, but I'm doing jigsaw puzzles.
You also said when I got here that you got some energy from a Facebook post that you saw yesterday.
That's true, I did. I really...
You are really transforming.
Oh, that's true. Can I talk about the Facebook post?
Sure.
So I read a Facebook post that said, it was another one of those ones about how things are better... were better when we were kids. One of the things was, back when we were kids, television and songs didn't have cuss words in them. I mean, immediately I'm like, I think Two Live Crew might have something to say about that. Right. I remember a song called "We Want Some Pussy." So I think that was from when I was a kid. And then my wife pointed out that they had to ban the song "Money Money" from our high school dances because during the chorus, all the kids would chant, "Hey, hey, what, get laid, get fucked." And so I think that happened back in my day.
So, that wasn't last week?
No.
Were you hanging out at a football game?
So, yeah, I think people, maybe they romanticize things a little in their heads.
Yeah.
Drinking out of a garden hose
and stuff. Right. Oh, it was just so pure back then. The world was so pure when I was 16 years old.
And oh, yeah.
It's all been ruined now.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So we have a teen room at the library, you know, and we all have to work the teen room. Mm. And so one of the workers was just like, "You know, when I was a kid, just like, we did not act this way. We did not use these words. I'm like, yeah, you did. I'm like, you just don't remember. He's like, and she's like, I never was disrespectful to my mom. I'm like, you should go ask your mom. But then so there's this quote that goes around, and it's often like attributed to Socrates. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't Socrates. It came from a dissertation where somebody was like sort of writing about the Greek view of like children during Socrates' time. So this is, you know, like 400 BC. Mm-hmm. So the quote is, the children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers.
This is from 400
BC.
Okay. So things were better back then.
Right.
Like, yeah. the generation before that.
Yeah. Well, it was really bad, and then 30 years ago, it was really good.
Right.
And now it's back to bad again.
Oh, damn it. Yeah.
But I just always think about that quote every time somebody's just like, oh, back in my day.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is, there's nothing older than complaining about the youth of today.
Yeah, one of the other things that the Post said was, we didn't speak unless spoken to. I'm like, your parents must have been fucking monsters then.
Right. Yeah. This is why you are, like, drink yourself to sleep every night. You're just dealing with the pain of that youth.
No kidding. So let's get back to the show. So now Colin's tied to a plank, and Nadia then says, she goes, I know we're all having the laugh of our lives, but sadly all parties must come to an end. Guillermo, untie them. And then Tessa says, can't you see you're outnumbered? And then Nadia goes, what are you going to do, moisturize us to death? Nadia gets a laugh, but then the head witch comes in and pins Nadia to the ceiling.
Yeah, just like throws her up against the ceiling.
Yeah.
Without touching her. Like,
right.
She just like flies
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And then Nadia says, oh, Lilith, I should have known this was you. Your stinky old stank was all over it. And then we see an interview, and Nadia says, Lilith is a witch I befriended many, many years ago. I used to run a shop that sold all the newest mixtures of makeups. Or she used to run it. All the newest mixtures of makeups and ladies' clothings and shirtings and suitings and shoestrings. It was all a front, of course. It was a way to distribute the very best of semens to any witch who needed it. Naturally, we hit it off straight away. Very fast friends. That was until she did something so evil, so despicable, so unforgivable, that we are now sworn enemies for the rest of time. And then she spits five times for her enemy, Lilith. And Nadia goes, you look so different to how I remember you. And Lilith says, yes, I appear to you now as my natural age self. With every passing moment, our anti-aging spells lose their potency. And then Nadia says, well, over my undead body, will your crispy hands get anywhere near my husband's sperms again? And Nandor goes, again? And Laza goes, yeah, the thing is, I had a bit of a knee trembler with Lilith some time ago, and Nadia found out and put me on her shit list.
I do like that line. I had a bit of a knee trembler. That's a really funny line.
Laszlo goes, she tricked me with her witchcraft. And Nadia goes, oh, she tricked you, did she? Come on, Laszlo. And then Nadia gets released and falls to the floor. And Lilith says, he does not lie. I didn't come to him in the form you see me now. I took the form that I knew he could never resist, you. And then Laszlo says, in bed she made herself look just like you. So this is a real single white female episode. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I remember that it exists. I don't remember the story at all.
Yeah, so like Bridget Fonda puts an ad in a paper or whatever for a roommate, mm-hmm. single white female.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jennifer Jason Leigh comes and she's her roommate. And it's great at first, and then she becomes like a wacko.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, Bridget Fonda's dating a guy or whatever. They're pretty serious, but he lives somewhere else. Jennifer Jason Leigh, one night she sneaks into his bed and goes down on him. They're making out and stuff. And then he's like super into it. And then she looks up and Jennifer Jason Leigh has cut her hair and changed it to look exactly like Bridget Fonda's. And so like, he got tricked.
Gotcha. A real Laszlo moment.
Yeah. Hopefully I didn't ruin that. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert for the 30-year-old movie.
And so he's like, yeah, she made herself look just like you. And she goes, it's true. Watch me now. Watch as I transform to look exactly like you. Voila. And Nadja goes, is that what you think I look like? So it's a woman dressed like her, but it's not her. Right. She's got like, she's much kind of skinnier, just different looking.
Yeah. We're in the same black dress with long dark hair. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Nadja goes, is that what you think I look like? And Laszlo goes, from here, I can't tell the difference. You both look exactly the same. Nadja goes, it's a completely different woman. He's like, sorry, you'll have to raise your hand, otherwise I don't know who's talking. She's like, Nadja goes, speak for me. And Lilith goes, speak for me. And Nadja goes, she's just doing a generic European accent. And Laszlo's like, pretty close, my love. Nadja's like, Colin Robinson? To like get some kind of like agreement. And Colin's like, Then she asks Nandor, and he won't say anything either. Nadja goes, look at us standing together now. It's me and it's another woman. How many more women have you slept with that just have long dark hair? She's just got long dark hair. She points at another girl and goes, she's got long dark hair. Have you slept with her? And Laszlo looks over and he goes, hello, Judith. She goes, Laszlo's got long dark hair and an accent. Have you slept with him? And Laszlo nods his head, yes.
Nandor's got long dark hair. You said Laszlo.
Oh, did I? Yeah, Nandor's got long dark hair. I can't believe it.
That was kind of the best moment of the show. Nandor's got long dark hair. Have you slept with him? And Laszlo just goes, ah.
Yeah. And then Nadja gets mad and says that the witches are welcome to his siemens. She's going home. The head witch says, silence, no one is going anywhere. With the combined semen of these two vampires, and then she turns around and she goes, and what's your name? And Colin goes, Colin Robinson, miss. She goes, with Colin Robinson semen too, we can maintain our youthful appearances for an even longer amount of time than before.
So, that was a pretty funny line. It's very awkward. Yeah. And like,
there's no, she doesn't have any idea how long.
She's trying to sound poetic, but it's just, just clumsy.
And then she says that they use it to keep their youthful looks, but they also use it to make magnets.
Magnets? How do they work? Remember that? From ICP, we talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The song Magnets.
What? That's right.
Magnets, how do they work? Well, it turns out they work by using vampire semen.
Yeah. Who knew?
We can write ICP and let them know.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Taika Waititi has something to do with that. Guillermo asks the witches if he can... He's like, may I ask you a quick question? And they kind of stop. He's like, what would you say if I told you that I could provide you with all the vampire semen and more that your little black hearts desire? And the witch is like, go on. He's like, sure, you can leave today with a one-time extraction from these two well-endowed. Colin goes, three. And Carol goes, three well-endowed gentlemen. But what happens when that semen's gone? You're out on the prowl hunting for more. And the witch is like, that's true. So he's basically doing this like he's...
the Shark Tank pitch.
Shark Tank.
I didn't catch that until I started reading this. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's doing the business pitch.
Yeah. You're out on the prowl hunting for more. And the witch goes, that's true. The search for prospective donors is a constant headache. Also, last time, things went totally off the rails. And then they showed like some blood on the like another plank.
That's right.
And Guillermo goes, exactly. So what would you say if I could provide you with an unlimited supply of semen? And then Guillermo goes, yeah, I basically offered them a deal where I could get Nandor and Laszlo's seed willingly. And then in return, I would get 3% of the net profit. I call this Mimo's man milk. And the witch is like, I love it. And he goes, Mimo is short for Guillermo. He goes, no more kidnappings or surgical extractions. It's not like that. There's not enough to go around. That stuff's everywhere. I also included Colin Robinson in the deal, which they replied to and said no. So now they're all back home. And on the way in the door, Colin goes, yeah, I've always been good at puzzles. At the 1992 World Puzzle Championship, I told New York Times puzzle master Will Shorts to eat my shorts. So I looked up to see if Will Shorts is a real person, and yes. He is.
He is a he's from the Nate Hodges' hometown of Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Is that right?
Yeah. I watched a whole documentary about Will Shorts one time.
Wow.
No joke.
Okay, then.
He designed his own major of puzzling. Right? You got that
yeah,
in there?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He invented the field of enigmatology.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a few weeks ago, you go, what game are you playing? And I was in the middle of my New York Times.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Crossword puzzle. He's the, yeah. So I've known about him for a very long time.
Weird. You're fucking weird. So then they go in the house and the place is trashed and they find out that the goat has been in there just tearing shit up. Colin goes, does he live here now? And then they kick the goat out and Nadia is very upset because her doll was like one of the things that got gnawed up by the goat. Lasso goes, shoo, you naughty goat. And Nadia goes, I know where you live, asshole.
Does she?
Well, yeah, she.
Oh, at the salon.
At the salon, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Later on, Lasso walks up to Nandor, and they're standing in the doorway, and Lasso goes, what are you up to? Nandor goes, nothing much. Lasso goes, I'm relegated to the coffin in the basement. Nandor's like, tough break. So it's kind of like two dudes having just like a dude talk. And then Lasso looks down, and Nandor's still got a rager going on. He goes, you still, Nandor goes, yeah, terrible, you. And Lasso goes, full blazes. He goes, look, what I was thinking. And Nandor goes, that we should finish each other off and tell no one. Lasso goes, I'm game if you are. And then they go into the room and close the door. I think it's this show. One of the things that cracks me up about this show is like sexuality is like, there's like no barrier.
Yeah, it's very fluid.
And it's also very like, they're not making a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is going to be groundbreaking.
Right. We're going to do a big build up to this scene. Mm-hmm. No, it's just like seeing the last 15 seconds.
Right. So then we see Guillermo being interviewed later. He's like, I saved the day when no one else could, but I'll always be just a familiar to them. I'm just another schlub driving around Brooklyn with a bunch of jars full of semen.
Just another one.
Yeah. He's walking out of the salon and the goat's standing there and they have a chat. Basically, the goat says that he's been hanging around this place for years doing shit work, and he sometimes wonders if they'll ever make him a witch. So I guess that's just sort of like a little more prodding to Guillermo
right.
that this is all bullshit.
Right.
He's never going to get what he wants. And then we go to the credits, and that's it.
And the goat's name is Black Peter.
Yeah.
Which is a reference to something. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But I know there's like an old folk song, I think, called Black Peter.
Okay.
And I know. I think the Grateful Dead used to do a version of it.
Okay.
But I'll have to go look that up.
ChatGPT right now.
All right.
Black Peter is a character from Eastern folklore, particularly associated with the holiday traditions of St. Nicholas Day in countries such as the Netherlands, Belgium, and parts of Central Europe. Black Peter is depicted as a companion of St. Nicholas who assists him in distributing gifts to children.
Hmm.
Black Peter likely refers to the character's dark or soot-covered appearance, as he is sometimes depicted as a chimney sweep or coal miner.
Yeah. Not a goat.
Okay.
That's a fun reference.
Yeah.
I did not love this episode. For me, the saving grace was Laszlo's acting. Like, just when he... I think when he was tied to the plank, and every once in a while he'd just make this face, like he'd look at the camera and just be like, this is getting good. That made me laugh. And then all of a sudden it wasn't good, and then he looked at the camera. He's just like, "Oh, help!"
Yeah, I think the only thing I got from this that I thought was a useful took us down the continuum a little further was Guillermo sort of becoming more like uncontrollable
mm-hmm.
by them.
Mm-hmm. That's true. He's sort of breaking away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this show should be about Guillermo, and it's not really.
Yeah, yeah,
and I think. He's a part of the story, but I feel like he should... I mean, if I was thinking about the story and I was writing this story, for me, he would be the center and everything else would rotate around him versus, like, he's kind of always on the outside.
Right.
But that's just a choice, you know?
Yeah, I think he's the most endearing character.
Yes, and we've talked about this, but, like, he's the only one with an arc. Because when you live forever, like, what's the story arc? Mm-hmm. There is no end.
Right. Yeah. So as you get farther into this, like I said, stuff changes and it'll become interesting for you.
All right. Well, I look forward to continuing the journey. We only got one more episode of this left then, and then we move on to season 7, whatever that's going to be.
Yeah, the mystery awaits us.
All right. Well, we got to determine before next episode what it's going to be. We will be in discussion.
Yeah.
I'll have my people call your people.
Okay. I'll send you a gift of some Memo's man milk.
Memo. That's a good one, too. Katie said that she didn't know Memo was short for Guillermo, but she'd heard that name before. Like, people call themselves Memo.
Oh, interesting.
And she's like, oh, I didn't know that that's what that was.
Now we know.
Yeah. All right.
We did it again.
Yeah. Well, hey, you've been listening to Wes and Mike Waste Time Watching TV, season 6, episode 19.
Bye.